We insist only that negotiations be entered into in good faith and be governed throughout by a spirit of willingness to reach proper solutions. While we will continue to take advantage of every opportunity here in the United Nations and elsewhere to settle differences by peaceful means, we have learned from hard experience that we cannot rely upon negotiation alone to preserve the peace. 5 years ago, after the bloodshed and destruction of World War II, many of us hoped that all nations would work together to make sure that war could never happen again. We hoped that international cooperation, supported by the strength and moral authority of the United Nations, would be sufficient to prevent aggression. But this was not to be the case, I'm sorry to say. Although many countries promptly disbanded their wartime armies, other countries continued to maintain forces so large that they posed a constant threat of aggression. And this year, the invasion of Korea has shown that there are some who will resort to outright war, contrary to the principles of the Charter, if it suits their end. In these circumstances, the United Nations, if it is to be an effective instrument for keeping the peace, has no choice except to use the collective strength of its members to curb aggression. To do so, the United Nations must be prepared to use force. The United Nations did use force to curb aggression in Korea, and by so doing has greatly strengthened the cause of peace. I am glad that additional steps are being taken at this session to prepare for quick and effective action in any future case of aggression. The resolution on the United Action for Peace, which is now being considered by the General Assembly, recognizes three important principles. To maintain the peace, the United Nations must be able to learn the facts about any threat of aggression. Next, it must be able to call quickly upon the member nations to act if the threat becomes serious. Above all, the peace-loving nations must have the military strength available when called upon to act decisively to put down aggression. The peace-loving nations are building that strength. However much they may regret the necessity, they will continue to build up their strength until they have created forces strong enough to preserve the peace under the United Nations. They will do all that is required to provide a defense against aggression. They will do that because under the conditions which now exist in the world, it is the only way to maintain peace. We intend to build up strength for peace as long as it is necessary. But at the same time, we must continue to strive through the United Nations to achieve international control of atomic energy and the reduction of armaments and armed forces. Cooperative and effective disarmament would make the danger of war remote. It would be a way of achieving the high purposes of the United Nations without the tremendous expenditures for armaments, which conditions in the world today make imperative. Disarmament is the course which the United States would prefer to take. It is the course which most nations would like to adopt. It is the course which the United Nations, from its earliest beginnings, has been seeking to follow. For nearly 5 years, two commissions of the United Nations have been working on the problem of disarmament. One commission has been concerned with the elimination of atomic weapons, and the other with the reduction of other types of armaments and armed forces. Thus far, these commissions have not been successful in obtaining agreement among all the major powers. Nevertheless, these years of effort have served to bring to the attention of all nations the three basic principles upon which any successful plan of disarmament must rest. First, the plan must include all kinds of weapons. Outlawing any particular kind of weapon is not enough. The conflict in Korea bears tragic witness to the fact that aggression, whatever the weapons used, brings frightful destruction. Second, the plan must be based on unanimous agreement. A majority of nations is not enough. No plan of disarmament can work unless it includes every nation having substantial armed forces. One-sided disarmament is a sure invitation to aggression. Third, the plan must be foolproof. Paper promises are not enough. Disarmament must be based on safeguards, which will ensure the compliance of all nations. The safeguards must be adequate to give immediate warning of any threatened violation. Disarmament must be policed continuously and thoroughly. It must be founded upon free and open interchange of information across national borders. These are simple, practical principles. If they were accepted and carried out, genuine disarmament would be possible. It is true that, even if initial agreements were reached, tremendous difficulties would remain. The task of working out the successive steps would still be a complex one and would take a long time and much effort. But the fact that this process is so complex and so difficult is no reason for us to give up hope of ultimate success. The will of the world for peace is too strong to allow us to give up in this effort. We cannot permit the history of our time to record that we failed by default. We must explore every avenue which offers any chance of bringing success to the activities of the United Nations in this vital area. Much valuable work has already been done by the two disarmament commissions on the different technical problems confronting them. I believe it would be useful to explore ways in which the work of these commissions could now be more closely brought together. One possibility to be considered is whether their work might be revitalized if carried forward in the future through a new and consolidated disarmament commission. But until an effective system of disarmament is established, let us be clear about the task ahead. The only course the peace-loving nations can take in the present situation is to create the armaments needed to make the world secure against aggression. That is the course which the United States is now firmly committed. That is the course we will continue to follow as long as it is necessary. The United States has embarked upon the course of increasing its armed strength only for the purpose of helping to keep the peace. We pledge that strength to uphold the principles of the Charter of the United Nations. We believe that the peace-loving members of the United Nations join us in that pledge. I believe that the United Nations, strengthened by these pledges, will bring us nearer to the peace we seek. We know that the difficulties ahead are great. We have learned from hard experience that there is no easy road to peace. We have a solemn obligation to the peoples we represent to continue our combined efforts to achieve the strength that will prevent aggression. At the same time, we have an equally solemn obligation to continue our efforts to find solutions to the major problems and issues that divide the nation. The settlement of these differences would make possible a truly dependable and effective system for the reduction and control of armaments. Although the possibility of attaining that goal appears distant today, we must never stop trying, for its attainment would release immense resources for the good of all mankind. It would free the nations to devote more of their energies to wiping out poverty, hunger, and injustice. If real disarmament were achieved, the nations of the world acting through the United Nations could join in a greatly enlarged program of mutual aid. The cost of maintaining armaments decreased, every nation could greatly increase its contributions to advancing human welfare. all of us could then pool even greater resources to support the United Nations in its war against want. In this way, our armament would be transformed into food, medicine, tools for use in undeveloped areas, and into other aids for human advancement. The latest discoveries of science could be made available to men all over the globe. Thus, we could give real meaning to the old promise that swords shall be beaten into plowshares and that nations shall not learn war anymore. Then man can turn his great inventiveness, his tremendous energy, and the resources with which he has been blessed to creative efforts. Then we shall be able to realize the kind of world which has been the vision of man for centuries. This is the goal which we must keep before us, and the vision in which we must never lose faith. This will be our inspiration, and with God's help, we shall attain our goal.
The delegates of the United Nations are rising in applause after the speech of the President of the United States. The President has been speaking to the General Assembly of the United Nations, meeting here at Flushing Meadows, New York. The President was presented by Secretary General Trygve Lie. The President's address has been brought to you by the CBS Department of Public Affairs.